Alrighty. Welcome back to the Groundskeeper Chat series. I am your host, Meg Kruger, and today I am joined by two very exciting, important people to this podcast series. They jumped in head first at the opportunity to join me today. They were so excited. They don't have a hesitant bone in their bodies about being a part of this podcast. And that is Mr. Weston Appenfeller and Chris Bell. Hello.
Hello. Hi. I don't appreciate that you locked the door so we can't get out, but I guess we're here.
Well, Weston is not new to this series, as you have seen him definitely before, but Chris Bell made an appearance during all of our SFMA live shows down in Daytona Beach. And so now he has the official title of, I don't want to mess this up because it's really.
Please don't mess it up. I'm putting on my business cards next week.
Let's see. It is.
Do you still use business cards?
No.
Chris Bell, the unofficial, hesitant, temporary co-host of the Groundskeeper Chat.
See? I'm not even supposed to be here.
But he will be joining us for today's episodes and going forward, I think. Right, Weston?
Yeah. It sounds like he wants to join. Nonstop.
I don't think he's getting his way out of this one.
I'm not joining.
It must be a slow week for Chris. Yeah. But today we're going to go through and recap some of the highlights from the SFMA show down in Daytona. Talk a little bit about I think there were 13 episodes that we recorded down there.
That's a lot.
And highlight some of those guests that we were able to have and what you guys can expect in the upcoming weeks as we start to post those. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about this new episode format, which is going to be something that you'll see on the channel more frequently. Just an episode without a guest where we kind of debrief the upcoming campaign, talk about the topic that's coming down the line, any guests that we're excited about, and give you guys kind of a sneak peek into what you can look out for in the upcoming weeks as we post. So with that said, are you excited about the new format, Weston?
I'm excited to learn about what the new format is, Meg. So.
Well, it's that exactly. Just that before we launch a new campaign, and that's like a marketing term that's the behind the scenes. But really before, very technical, before we launch a new topic, we just finished posting all of our business of turf. We're going to head into our Daytona series now, and then we have one in the works coming down the line. But before we launch that topic officially by posting those episodes on social media, we'll take a minute to sit down, the three of us, because we're now a trio, no more duo. And we'll kind of talk about the guests that we've had the opportunity to sit down with, what the topic is going to be, and all the good highlights that people can look out for.
Awesome.
Works for you?
That works great. I'm glad I know what I'm talking about now. So it's exciting.
Well, now we're going to move on from that conversation.
Again, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yes. Color commentary.
Yep.
You got it.
Yep.
And so we were down in Daytona, now a month ago?
No. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Month ago now, and for the National SFMA conference, like I said, we were able to have about 13 official guests at the booth, but then we also did some rush hour segments where we just grabbed people that were innocent bystanders walking past the booth, and we forced them to sit down and record a few minutes with us.
Yeah, I think I was literally yelling at people, hitting mute and yelling at people as they walked by.
There was the one gentleman that sat on your side that literally, he was like, no, no, shaking his head violently. And you're like, get over here.
Said, I think it was Daniel Pierre.
No, that was one of them. It was the gentleman.
Andrew Muntz, I think.
Okay, yes. Yep. I was going to describe what he looked like because he was ripped. That's all.
Yeah, he's a CrossFit guy.
That's all I remember.
He's a CrossFit guy.
Family friendly. So
yeah. Excuse me. Sorry. We'll cut that. Jonathan loves when we cut in and out of the episodes. Sorry, I need to take a sip of tea because I'm always sick. I just posted the Marcus Elswick episode, which had to be audio only, because when you watch the video, I was just drinking tea and blowing my nose anytime after I'd ask a question.
We're not cutting this part.
Yeah, just keep it rolling.
Just the real true behind the scenes here.
Yep. The bread and butter of the Groundskeeper Chats. But what were some of the things that you guys saw emerge from SFMA that had you excited? Trends that either our guests talked about or that you just witnessed yourselves, or any amazing sessions that you were able to join in on? I'm looking at you, Chris.
I went to one session.
I'm glad she's going to you first.
And that was Meg's session. Yes. So.
Bad you made that, because I didn't.
So. Yeah, I remembered it. There's a little tick next to your name in my journal now. He did not come to my session. Not a supportive coworker.
I would say there's always great energy at that event. Excitement for me was, I don't want to say younger, but less experienced people, and how they're jumping in head first, mm-hmm. and just getting so involved right away. That's really exciting for the industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're so excited to also spread the word about the industry and what everybody does. So that excited me a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. This was my first show on the commercial side. So that was an interesting change from being on one side of a booth to the other side. And,
Yeah.
It was fun. It was really fun. And then doing the live podcasts and seeing people, you know, mingle around and listen to what we were saying for a little while, or to the guests, that was very cool. So, the trade show I thought was really well attended. Good amount of people interested in talking, mm-hmm. and young students. Like, it seemed like there was more young students this year
than maybe ever. I was wrong. For sure. Like, I would say that was everyone's takeaway. Like, majority of the guests said it's incredible how many students are here. Like, I think that was a huge takeaway. Definitely made an impression.
And all the students at all levels are super impressive, because they're not afraid to come up and ask questions.
Absolutely.
Even high school kids.
Yep.
So I never would have had that kind of bravery in my heart to come ask a professional something I may want to do when I grow up.
And we had, 14? Caden Oldenkamp.
Yeah.
Caden sat in the booth with us for a few minutes. And I was like, oh, you know, we'll do this and we won't do anything with it. But he spoke so, like, sure of himself and
for sure.
eloquently that we ended up posting. It was great. It was like, oh, this is really cool. And he had a cool point of view as well.
That's cool.
He gets to, you know, go around with his parents to stuff like that. And, you know, I'm always looking for an angle to bring my kids with wherever I go.
It was neat to watch him from afar, though, just kind of hanging out, going through the trade show.
Yeah.
Social events.
Well, yeah, he showed up to the social event. And he, like, beelined it for the band and was, like, right up front dancing. It was really
That's
funny.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I think one lesson is that kids today are smarter than we were.
Apparently.
More outgoing, if nothing else. So.
Yeah.
And there was definitely a lot of conversation about, you know, tapping into that labor pool early on, whether that's finding them after a two-year degree or finding them right out of high school, mm-hmm. and, you know, bringing them into the fold. Because as we know, so much of the groundskeeping industry is learning on the job. And that seemed like a trend people were excited about.
Yeah. I've met so many people that have stumbled upon this career,
mm-hmm.
and didn't know it was a thing. They've either made it through school already, or they're midway through school, don't exactly know how to transfer over into it or how to get started. It seems like, you know, you get a lot of those, and talking to them about the different certificate programs that are around, and
yep.
and how valuable experience is. Just get your foot in the door, get a job, and work your way up. And I met several people at this conference that were like that.
I would say 90% of the guests I've had on the podcast, mm-hmm. it's been like a happy accident,
yeah.
or like a stumbled into it. But that, like, I don't know what your turf origin story is. Like, did you stumble into it, or was it on your radar?
I was like the 14, 15-year-old that knew exactly what I wanted to be.
That's
a little
wild.
Lawn care
That's
business
amazing.
In town. And I used to come up to the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, games. My brother was dating, follow this now, an umpire, Major League Baseball umpire's daughter.
Okay.
And so we would come up and watch games that he was umpiring.
Huh.
And for a while, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be an umpire. I'm going to do that. And then I started watching, and I was like, well, I like mowing yards, and I have a little lawn care business, and there's people out here doing circles on the infield. What are they about?
Uh-huh.
And I started looking into it and realized Ohio State had a degree in that, and that's where I got started. So I was one of the ones that was knew exactly what they were going to do. We finished school in a little under 4 years.
You must make up like 2% of the industry. Well, like
when I went to college, my first meeting with my professors, first quarter, first day, whatever, there was four students there, three golf course and me. I was the only sports turf person.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
So, wow. Was that at ATI?
No, it was a main campus. Yeah, okay. Ohio State, yep.
Very cool. So was that your like first job or experience as well, or did you take any internships or like opportunities before?
That day I walked over to the professor's desk and said, hey, can you help me find a job doing something? And they contacted the Ohio State grounds crew, and within I called them up and they had no openings. They're like, we have nothing. And I was like, okay, well, I'm a new turf student. They hired me the next day.
Oh, wow.
I worked on the grounds crew for Ohio State all 4 years of college.
Huh. That is so cool.
Yep.
You've definitely probably told me that before, considering I wrote a whole profile about your career, but I don't know why I didn't remember it. That's really cool, though.
That's definitely different from most of the origin stories you've asked. When you ask people, like you said, 98% of them, it's just they were doing something else and they fell into it, but they all had the same drive.
Yeah.
And they found the same, I don't know, it just gave them the fulfillment that they were looking for at the same time. So.
Well, and I think that was one of the questions we asked a lot of the guests is like, when you're hiring, what are the things that you're looking for? And all of them said it was like, it's how they jive with the crew. That's one of the biggest things. And then you just have, you need to have the ability to want to learn, because that's what so much of the job is learning on the fly, you know, getting in there and just getting dirty and doing it, not, you know, having to reference back to a textbook or whatever. So that's definitely another interesting side of it.
Absolutely. And then when you work with a good crew or a good, or for a good boss, like it's such a family atmosphere that it's a team atmosphere, I guess, right? And most of the people that have a competitive side to them and they've played sports growing up and they're looking for that to continue. And maybe they're not good enough to play sports or whatever. And you fall into this and it's that reward of I'm still on a team. I still get to watch sports. I get to be there every day. And that's fun. So
yeah. When you were just saying you were looking to maybe go to the Cavs game tonight.
Yeah.
But like the only tickets that are, you know, affordable buying same day would be like way up. And it's like you are now so spoiled because really groundskeepers get that front row seat that nobody else can afford. Like, you know, you're on the same level as the top tier celebrities when you're watching a game.
I'm bougie. I gotta have that on field or on court seat, I guess.
You've got a standard, man.
Yeah. I told them YOLO, you only live once.
Yeah.
YOLO, I haven't heard that in years.
Oh, I love that. That one in If You Ain't Living on the Edge, You're Taking Up Too Much Space. Those are kind of the ones I live by whenever I want to, you know, make a crazy purchase.
It was interesting, though, and I'd take my kids tonight to the game if we end up going. I'm 20 years into this career, so I've worked in it 20 years. I've been to hundreds and hundreds of games. The first game I ever went with my kids was last July after I switched over to the commercial. I've never taken my
Red
kids
Sox
to a
game, right?
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah. They've been at games I've worked at, but I've never sat in the crowd with my kids. It was pretty cool.
Really cool. Huh. I love that. And to go back to what you kind of said earlier, what was like, you know, and we can edit this out if it wasn't a good experience, but, you know, seeing other people at the show that have known you for years as that groundskeeper, what was it like being on the other side? You know, were people intrigued by it, interested? Like, what was the main takeaway there?
It was interesting because when I first took this, you know, being on the commercial side, I wondered what it would be like to catch up with old friends that either knew I'd made the switch or didn't know that I made the switch and what that would be like. And what I found is, and maybe it's because I have an older group of friends in the industry, is that I get a lot of questions about how did you make the switch? Mm-hmm. What's it like? And so a lot of the conversations were that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people looking to move on in their career or wondering how it is, or people just interested.
Sure.
And so a lot of the questions are either, you know, how do you like it? How do I do it?
Yeah.
How did you do it? That sort of thing. And so that was kind of what it was. And I was nervous at first
you
know, when I first took the job of how that would be, but it was very, you know, comforting. And the people that have talked about it with me are very open and understanding as to why. And it's just, it's a natural progression through.
Yeah.
And so very open, very good. Great conversations about it. So,
well, and Pioneer is, I mean, just from my position working at agencies, like the only time we ever interacted with our customer or like our client was via email. That's as close as you got to, you know, the, like mm-hmm. at Pioneer, you know, I'm not in a product or groundskeeping like position, but I get to work with customers every single day. So it's a unique position where you still get to really be ingrained in the day to day of mm-hmm. that industry.
Absolutely. And talking with so many people across the country, right? Like it's really no different than when I was a groundskeeper, right? Mm-hmm. We just share information, and it's similar now that I'm in this role, as an advisor to, you know, our sales staff and to other groundskeepers, that I just continue to pass on information as I get it, talk to one groundskeeper, hear what their problems are, talk to another groundskeeper and say, yeah, you're not the only one that's alone in this. So
yeah,
it's been good. So
it's a good transition.
It is. It's great. So
very cool. And I will say my favorite part of the week happened on Thursday night, and I didn't realize that it was going to happen because I didn't realize you won an award last year and that you had to come up on stage, and that was your opportunity to give a speech of sorts. And I was sitting front row, and it was my favorite part of the whole week.
Yeah. First of all, Wes, I want you to know I knew you won an award.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, and I pay attention.
Well, I didn't even know how it worked, like that the last year's recipient comes up to introduce the next year recipient, but it's also their opportunity to kind of have a thoughtful response to the award, because like all the other people are winning on the fly and are like, sure. Oh my gosh, this is cool, thank you, but I don't know what to say right now.
Right.
So it was cool to see you come up there with your paper and give that speech. It was awesome. And yeah. I recorded it so that I could send it to you.
And as I'm nervous standing there ready to give it, I had no idea you were even there, let alone sitting right in front of the podium. And I look down and you're like, don't screw up. You said that?
Well, so they were talking about why this person won this award. They were like saying all these attributes about Weston, like hardworking, loyal, you know, genuine. And I'm like,
who wrote that?
Yeah.
You?
It's literally like, you.
So I was like haggling him from the front row right before he gave this like very thoughtful speech. It was great.
Yeah. So I had that going in my head. And then I have another good friend, Matt Williams, who had bet me my month's mortgage that I wouldn't say something in front of everyone. And I almost switched the script on it and said something to fulfill that. And if my wife ever catches word that I didn't say what he wanted me to say, and I won't go into what it is, it's hilarious, but
after hours.
I'll get in trouble for passing up that mortgage money that would have been nice to have. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was very sweet, and I'm excited to see. I want to go back to the award ceremony to see the people that won this year. I want now to see what their big speech will be. So that was my favorite part of the show. What would you say, Chris, was your, I wish we were recording this video. So just so you could see the face that Chris made when I put him on the spot.
You'll hear the sigh.
Again, I'm not supposed to be here.
Because we joke that Chris kind of retracts into his antisocial self.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's just a lot going on from my perspective, my job here at Pioneer. So I have a very busy schedule taking care of a lot of things. So, for me, it sounds cheesy because we're on a thing, but doing the podcast was my favorite part for sure. So
all the different guests.
It was pretty exciting answer I gave you right there.
No, it was. And I think it was cool because this is the second year I've been able to do it. And like people were excited when they weren't confused when they came in this time. It wasn't like, oh, what's that? Yeah. They were like, oh, those guys are back. And it was like, it was an excitement around it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed hearing everyone's stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you do it frequently on the podcast, but for me just to not be interrupted by anybody else because I had scary headphones on my head, so they would leave me alone.
Yeah.
And just to hear everybody's, I love their turf origin stories.
Yeah.
But also just the passion they have for their jobs, for the industry. So it's truly amazing because, I mean, maybe I'm just oblivious, but I can't think of another industry where people just love the work they do so much.
Truly.
And the support they give each other.
What a guest list of people we had.
Yep.
All different levels, all different roles. Just talking about what they experience and what they've done.
So. Honestly, it amps me up to come back to the office and get my rear end in gear. So.
Definitely.
But you still have it, so.
No, I lost the keys to start the engine. But
well, we kicked off the show with Andy Hubbard.
Yep.
And we talked all about building a brand. And what a way to start the show. He brought the energy. When people started coming in, he did, like, live commentary. So I'm excited for everyone to hear that episode. But what a story he has just in, you know, he's a legacy.
Yep. Second line, right?
Yep. Second generation, started his own, you know, path in the industry. And then this was the first year, and maybe I just had not met them in the past, but this is the first year I saw him have like employees there with him. And he talked about building a crew and everything like that. And I thought he was the perfect way to kick off the show.
Yeah. For me, it's fun to watch Andy from afar because we, you know, I think that's my, I don't know, 16th SFMA conference, 15th, I don't even know. And I feel like we've known each other since my first time there. We chatted a lot, and every year we catch up. But seeing him grow as a person, as a professional, and a father is pretty awesome to watch from afar.
And his father sat down and was watching as he was on
that
it.
Was
and
really
you
cool.
could see like the proud moment of this is my son. And Andy shared the, you know, the excitement back towards his father. And his, I learned everything from him. So it was very cool.
Yeah, that was a cool moment to be a part of.
And we held back the tears.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And then next on, we had Ryan Bjorn.
Yep.
And what's the other way we can say the name?
Bjorn.
Bjorn. So
No, that's not how we say it. We've been down this road.
Okay,
we've
called him.
It's Bjorn.
It's Bjorn.
He did say Bjorn.
He did. And he said some other people might mess around and he doesn't correct them, but we know the intel. And we talked about a lot of different things with him. But he had a session that I think he did on the day after about the future of sports turf. But you have a special place in your heart for him.
And he's he's been on multiple times.
Yeah.
Phenomenal person, phenomenal guest. And he just, same thing. The energy's this there. His passion for the industry is awesome. And it was another good interview with him. So
definitely. And Chris, I think that was the first episode that he might have chimed in for. Because he started off saying, I'm just going to sit here and run sound, but then he just couldn't help himself.
And now he's here.
Look at that.
Sitting on the podcast.
He had no idea that opening that door would never be able to be closed again.
I was curious, and I had a question, and that was the beginning of the end.
Yep, that it was. Next up, we had Ryan DeMay, and I think we said he was the one that created the biggest crowd. Like, people literally stopped to watch and listen to what he had to say.
He needs to write a book.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, completely.
It was fascinating
agreed.
To listen to.
His knowledge on turf business is unbelievable. And then, you know, you look up and we had 20 people standing around listening to what he was saying. I think we were mesmerized. We were just, like, staring and like, all right, yes.
Well,
yes.
And when you asked him a question, you know, I always am working in my mind, like, on the follow-up, like, so that, you know, we keep the conversation going. You would ask him a question, and he would just naturally know where it was going, and he would answer four questions within that. So I can't say good enough things about him. I mean, what a bright light in the industry.
He's the smartest guy that I've ever met in the turf industry.
And I don't know if you guys talked about it, but where have your paths crossed?
Yeah. So he was a golf course superintendent in the Columbus area. At the same time, I was a, you know, Major League Soccer groundskeeper in that area. And he switched over and worked for Columbus Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And we served on several boards together. And that's where, like, anything I was involved in, I was like, you got to have Ryan on this as well. So, he's, you know, I've known him for probably 10 years now. He'll pick up the phone every single time you call. And if he doesn't, he'll call you back in an hour. And it's, you're going to talk to him for 45 minutes because you just want to hear what he's got to say.
Yep. Yep. I love that. Yeah. He was a great guest. I'm excited for his episode to come out. I think we had it titled like Ball Fields on a Budget, but he covered much more than that.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that one. Next up was Ben Jackson.
Yep.
And we know how your guys' path crossed, but I think you need to share with Chris his origin story because that was one where I was like, I called you when I was editing his episode. I was like, I don't know if I ever asked him. And then, like, what a pleasant surprise to hear his story.
So Ben Jackson was like a 17 or 18 year old student at Westerville, Ohio high school there. And he had to do a job fair, and he was a huge Crew fan from like day one, 1996. He was in the crowd.
Wow.
Season tickets, go with his friends, his parents. And he loved soccer. He was the one person that liked soccer when no one else liked soccer in the US, right? Like, it's growing now, but at the time it wasn't that big. And so when he was, you know, 2001, 2002, he was a senior in high school. He had to do an internship or had to do like a job shadowing. And his teacher knew how much he loved soccer. And so she called over to the Crew and said, can we get him on the field as a groundskeeper or whatever? And Darren Daly, who was the head groundskeeper at the time, said, bring him over. He can work with us. And he ended up being a part-time student on the Crew, working a few hours a week. And that led to working all the way through college, him going into turf because of it. And then he worked his way up from second assistant to first assistant to head groundskeeper. And he's now been there 25 years, probably.
So 23
years. And is the longest tenured Crew employee.
Really?
And he's won 2 or 3 championships now he's been part of. 3.
So cool.
He's been there for every one of them.
It's an awesome story.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And it's stories like that, like you were saying, like that are just so cool to hear. And I had like texted you just on a random work day. And I swear, like my like fingertips were like tingling. I was like, this is. Is that a weird?
He's been there so long.
Like, you know, I was typing.
He's been there so long that my first day at the Crew was like February 7th, 2006. And I walk in, not to get specific on the date there, but I think that's exactly what it is. I walk in and my boss was introducing me to everybody. And he's like, this is Ben. If you ever have a question, he's been here forever.
I love that.
And he's 22 at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's been there forever. So,
So cool. I really enjoyed his chat. And I think we talked about like championship Crew, you know, play on words of sorts. But he was like, you know, winner, you know, we go through all these seasons and it definitely helps when the team is winning. But you have to have like that mentality in your Crew to go out every day and win the day in order to succeed. Like you can't base it off how the team's doing. Like you guys have to be your own unit, your own team of sorts. Next up, I think you ditched us. You had to like actually go do some selling, probably not hide behind the headphones for a little bit.
Disappointed.
Yeah. You replaced me though. That's what I heard. I heard you were the person.
I was just working the soundboard, man.
No, you I think on Larry's, he had such a cool take and insight that we got to talk to him a little bit about being pioneers in the field, but also a topic that he was really excited about when I interviewed him, which is all about visibility. And he is with the Minnesota Twins, but just what a, like, I talked to him several times on the phone, but meeting him in person was really cool. And I just thought his story was incredible as well.
Oh, it's an amazing story. And the longevity was pretty awesome.
Yep.
And even after all those years, he's still so excited and energetic.
Yep.
I'm just baffled by how anybody can be like that.
Yeah. And well, in the crowd that he walked over to the booth and all these people stopped and were like needed to talk to him. And that was really cool. And I think my favorite story from him is I interviewed him for this profile piece, talked to him several times. You know, I try and give them a segue to tell me a little bit about themselves personally without, being too aggressive. And he didn't take the bait. You know, I sent him the final version of his profile. He's like, oh, man, I guess I should have mentioned my wife and 2 kids. And that I met my wife at an SFMA conference.
She's a turf industry.
And that she's a huge,
She used to run a podcast.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that could have been the focal point of your story. But we've definitely worked it in there enough times now where people will know that about him. But what was even cooler is the guest that we had right after Larry was Andy Ammann, who actually, when he, like, was getting up and running. He was just
a coach, right?
A coach, a parent coach, like lost a championship game because like of a bad hop. And he like just a light bulb went off and he was like, how can I make this field better? But at one point time, he called Larry DeVito and was like, hey, would you mind if I just come out and like spend the day with you? Because they met at a conference or something. And he thought, no way this big profile guy is ever going to let me come and shadow him. And he did. And he said he got out of the car and was instantly handed a rake and put to work. And so to have them back to back was really cool.
That's cool.
Sorry, I'm going to take a sip here. But Andy Amon is one of my favorite people to talk to, again, because he's not someone that started in the industry, but has found a love for it later on in his life. And again, someone so eloquent and a great storyteller. So I thought another great episode coming your way that you'll have the opportunity to listen to. We've got like 5 more to work through, so hold on tight. another thing that we ended the show with was our Pioneer Athletics Rush Hour, which I think we'll have to do that next year.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. And maybe we'll have more people like lined up, ready to go.
We need to have a few beers to hand out as they come on to make
it a true
like a happy hour feel. And then we can we can lure them in with that. Do you not agree with me on that?
Hey, if it's a happy hour, I'm on board.
Okay. Just that's what I'm going to do. I was going to be like, you want a beer? And then they'll come over and be like, all right, now you're on the podcast.
Yep.
But you're going to hand out like from like a bag, your book bag or something?
Absolutely.
Like
a Four Loko.
I'm going to get one of those.
A Four Loko.
Yeah, I'm going to get one of those coolers that like looks like a bag and you just open it up and it's.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
It's like being at a youth sporting event. I mean,
can I put
it's
that on
like
your budget?
It's like being on vacation.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, we had, that was the first one we ever did. And then the next day we did a women in turf rush hour. And luckily they got the memo. Like they all stood around. Like I had them all meet at the booth beforehand, and then they all kind of stuck around so that it was just one after the other. It was pretty seamless because you know women just do it the right way the first time
and around. I wasn't there for that, so who all was on the
there was a ton.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I think we had Kathy Croft.
Mm-hmm.
Which, did I say it right? I
from Bulldog.
We can call her
from
an
Bulldog. Yeah, we could call her an ass. We had her jump on with Kelly Lynch.
Okay.
I think we had
BJ Thomas from Georgia.
Yep. Her and son did a whole episode on their own.
That wasn't the rush hour?
Yeah.
Whoops.
We like met up with them before the show even started.
Okay.
And it was all about like BJ was, you know, just out on her own raft, out in the world type of situation, just working her fields. She got connected with Sun, and like she said, the way her life has changed over the last year, like just building a network and how important it is to have like a community within the industry. But yeah, we had a ton of people on the Women in Turf Rush Hour, which I guess we can, you know, be annoying and be like, you'll just have to tune in and see who it was. But that's mainly because I can't remember all of them.
Overall, though, that group is so supportive of each other. It's pretty inspiring.
Yeah. Somebody said to me, I forget. Corey Levine, I met up with him after the show and he was in my session. And like when halfway through my slides like disappeared and I started to like, you know, obviously panic because I still had probably an hour worth of talking to do and none of my slides were there. And he was like, it was incredible how like your boss, but all of those women just like stood up and would have beat anyone up at that point for you. Like it wasn't necessary, but they would have. Like,
well, you know, when I see that, I'm like, man, I wish I had a group of friends like that. My friends would have left me hang out to dry.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible to have them in your back pocket. A nice tool to have. So yeah, definitely stay tuned for that episode because we had a lot of really cool characters on that one. The next one was Aaron Fink down in Louisville FC. Again, we talked with him about Championship Crew, but kind of a different tier because we actually were able to spend time with him at the College Cup this past year.
That's right.
So we kind of recapped that. And again, he's got a really unique story because he's part of one of the mafias in the industry.
Yep.
One of those family trees that just like it's incredible how many people have come out from the Tom Nielsen, you know, legacy. And he's one of them. And he really, like followed directly in Tom's footsteps. Yep. So I'm really excited for his episode. And anytime I get the opportunity to talk to him, I'm always impressed. Yep. Did your paths ever cross with him?
With Aaron? No. And I know him from the Nielsen Mafia.
Okay.
I've got to know those guys maybe 5 or 10 years ago really well.
Okay.
And he's been great. He'd come down to Austin when I was down there and toured the facility.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah, Aaron is a good friend and
great in the
industry. So.
And Todd Schaefer is the other one that I just...
What a phenomenal person.
Really, though.
Yeah.
Just the best. So those two are the ones that stick out in my mind as like carrying the torch forward of the Nielsen Mafia. And then I'm looking here now. We had Abby, but she actually didn't close out the show because we had Bulldog come on after. But Abby was one of our pioneers in the field. Mm-hmm. And anytime we get, again, she's one of those that has been on the channel many times. And anytime I get the chance to talk with her, she just like blows me away. Mm-hmm. She's so sweet. And she was so humbled by the profile because so many people reached out and wanted to give commentary on how just being connected with her changed their mm-hmm. career. And just an incredible person altogether.
From her perspective, it has to be surreal to hear people talk about how much you impacted them. And if that was me, that's not me. You're not talking about me.
Yeah. That's what she was. She was shocked that somebody nominated her. She was like, who? And I was like, there were like 7 people that were willing mm-hmm. to put their name.
Which to us is baffling that she would think that, right?
Yeah, I was like, we were just holding off. You were going to be the anchor for, 1 year. she's just, incredible, incredibly humble, but has had such an impact.
And how impressive is it that, what Rocky Mountain, turf managers have done out there. The fact that Abby and Son are 20 miles from each other is incredible talent there next to each other.
Yeah. And they're just they're two people that I think I was connected with Abby and she was like, you got to meet Son. And I had heard of Son, met Son, and just the way that my, network exploded after getting connected with those two. They're so passionate about it, and they're also even more passionate about bringing people along with them. And I think Abby said that, or maybe it was Paula from Toro said that about Abby, that Abby is somebody that has found her way to the top by bringing people up along with her, by
Remember
not
that.
Stepping on people, and she really embodies that. So
she did things the right way.
Yep, exactly. And then we closed out the 2024 Live Groundskeeper Chat series with Bulldog Equipment. We had Kathy and Morgan on, and they kind of teased this toy line that they're coming out with. And
those are cute. Yeah.
They were really cute. And Morgan has a young family, and he talked about how his daughter asks for, what did she call it? The Mo book or something.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And it's just this book that talks about, because Kathy was saying there's fire engines, there's police cars, there's even John Deere, equipment that kids can play with, but there's no, groundskeeping equipment.
That's
and
awesome.
How cool that can be to get in the hands of young kids. So they were the perfect cherry on top way to end the show. So going through all of those, do any of them, do you want to claim a favorite, or would that just not be fair?
To me, they were all so different, so I don't have a favorite.
Truly.
That sounds so political, though, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. I don't have a favorite. Vote for me.
Yeah, I got no picks. I was there for the first 4. The happy hour thing or the rush hour was cool.
It was really
that.
Cool. And we'll definitely bring that back next year at the show. Who knows? I think Chris is going to run it solo at that point. He's going to really take everything over.
No.
Again. I still can't figure out if this is a test or not.
Oh, he's in.
He's
permanently in. He'll be sitting outside shooting these like I do back home.
My mom used to say I have a face for radio, so it would
That's true.
Would well, then we
your mom is true. Yeah, she's not lying.
Well, he has only offered to join in on the ones that were not recording video for. So you guys will never know what he looks like. I think your profile picture on Twitter is also like a that you couldn't be able
I'm
to
I'm a man
out.
Of mystery. All
I
right?
guess so.
Like Austin Powers.
We'll keep that. That would be like a thing that next year people will try and figure out who you are. So
you put me in a like Where's Waldo coloring book.
Yep, yeah. That's something to look forward to.
Put like a cover over your face at the show so people can't actually see you. Have like
is that guy a hostage yeah. or what's the deal? Why does he have a bag on his head?
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, this is kind of your teaser or your sneak peek into what we have coming down the line. So make sure that you are following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the places so that you don't miss a single episode drop. And you can also find them on YouTube and our website, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Podbeam, if you have that app on your phone, all the places, find us and tell us how great we are. So
wow. Or not.
Anything to help our self-esteem.
Anything that lets Doug let it continue to let That's us great. Do this. All right, thank you guys.
Have a good day.
See ya.